Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. For help with guest options, press star zero. The moderator has not yet joined the conference. Please stand by.
Hey, what's up, guys? John Sin here. So we're going to get started in about 4 minutes or so. So I just wanted to come on. All you guys are going to be muted. This will just be a straight lecture on this call. If you guys have any questions, email them to me at sin@sinsofattraction.com. And if they're related to the curriculum, I'll get to them during the next call or back through email or something. Get started in like 2 more minutes. So 2 more minutes if you're just getting on the call. All right, 1 more minute, 1 more minute. We'll get started. Okay, let's get started. Obviously, I'm John Sin, and this is the first installment of the Seduction Roadmap training program. I created the program, and I'm really, really excited for you guys. The first thing I want to say is congratulations once again for joining the Seduction Roadmap training program. You guys made a really great decision, and I'm super excited about helping you create the life of sexual abundance that you've always wanted. So that's the first step. You've made the step. You've committed to this program. I'm going to give you all the information over the next 7 weeks that you're going to need to go from where you're at now to being able to meet and seduce women basically at will. So I'm really excited for you. I'm really excited to get this information out there because it's not like anything out there being taught right now. And I think there's a lot of information that's going to change you guys' lives in these recordings. So first, things first, I just want to take care of some housekeeping stuff. The dates and times of these training sessions, every session is going to be on a Tuesday. So the next session will be April 13th at 6 p.m. Pacific time. For the next six Tuesdays, we're going to be every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time. That's when our session is going to be. Each session will be about an hour. So April 13th, April 20th, April 27th, May 4th, May 11th. Now, for session number 7, which is the special putting it all together call, the Q&A call, that's going to be on Thursday, May 13th. So six Tuesdays and then a Thursday. Our 7th call will be on that Thursday. You don't want to miss that one because that's when you can ask me all of the questions that you guys will have, and we'll stay until I've answered everyone's questions. So with that said, if you have any questions during the next 6 weeks, email them to me at sin@sinsofattraction.com. That's sinn@sinsofattraction.com. And I'll try to get to them if they fit the curriculum. We have every one of these calls, we're going to be really tight for making it into an hour based on the content. Some will go over. I'll try to let you know at the beginning if the call is going to go over. But for the most part, we have a lot of content, so I won't be able to answer questions until the Q&A call. So if you have a question, email it to me. I'll try to get to it. If not, save that written down question, and May 13th, 6 p.m. Pacific time, that's when we'll be doing the Q&A call. The next thing I want to talk about is the Sins of Attraction Skill Set Lifestyle Inner Game event, which is going to be taking place in November in Los Angeles. We still have not locked down a location for the event, but we'll let you know as soon as we have one, and we should have it in the next 2-3 weeks at the most. So it will be in LA. It's going to be in November, so you can start looking into ticket prices and hotel accommodations now, and we'll lock down that location for you in the next couple weeks. The online module on the Sins of Attraction Escalation Ladder is going to be up no later than April 12th. So today is the 6th, so it's about 6 days. It'll be up sometime in the next week. I'll probably have that up for you guys by Monday, I would say. That would be my guess of when it'll be up there. The certified sticking points analysis calls, those are going to become the strategy sessions will begin during the week of April 26th. So that's during the 4th week of the program. My assistant Karen will email you to schedule a time for the strategy session, and she's also going to email you a questionnaire to make sure you get the most out of the session. So make sure that you return Karen's email to set up your strategy session, especially if you're one of the first 37 guys, because you'll want to make sure you get that session with me and fill out the questionnaire so that I have some information on you going into the call. That'll help a lot as well. Awesome, guys. Well, I think that's basically all the housekeeping stuff we have. So I want to move into the next phase, which is stage one, the first call of the Seduction Roadmap training program, which I'm so excited to get to you guys because this call is on something that a lot of guys have that a lot of guys are uncomfortable bringing up, talking about. It's not a very manly or masculine subject, and because of that, it cripples the game of literally thousands of guys out there. And what I'm talking about is sexual anxiety. So on today's call, I want to give you guys all the information you need, all the links to resources you need in order for you to go out there and get some help with your sexual anxiety, because it's a real thing. It does actually affect people. I had pretty bad sexual anxiety myself for a couple of years, and I'll tell you my story with sexual anxiety and some embarrassing stories that have happened to me to show you guys that it's not something that you have to live with for the rest of your life, but you do have to be proactive about it. You do have to admit to yourself that you have it and start to work on it, because it's not just going to go away by itself. It's not one of those things where if you just do enough approaches or you meet enough girls or you do this, that, or the other, eventually you get over it. There's a very specific way to get over sexual anxiety that I'm going to go over on this call. And then I'm also on this call going to talk to you guys about beliefs and sexuality and how to install beliefs that will help you learn, help you get better at pickup, and help you be more successful with women in general. And these are beliefs that I've gotten from countless conversations with guys who are naturals with women, just kind of dissecting their mindset, how they think about women and life and pickup and stuff like that and what makes them successful. So a lot of good stuff on this call. You're definitely going to want to make sure that you have a pen and paper or a computer handy to take notes, because there's going to be a lot of stuff that you're going to want to write down. Now, you will be receiving the PDF and the replay link for this call if you missed it within 24 to 48 hours. So within a day or two, if you miss any of these calls going forward, you'll get the link to them and the PDF, which will have the exercises and kind of notes on them. And then within about 4 days, you'll get the transcript. So within 1 or 2 days, we'll give you the PDF with the exercises and the notes, and then within 4 days, and the replay call, the link to listen to the call you missed, and then, or if you want to listen to it again, which I recommend with a lot of the stuff that we're going to be going through, because a lot of the time I talk fast and it's hard to get everything at once. So replay link, PDFs, 24 to 48 hours, and then transcript, which will be the word for word right out of everything I said, about 4 days. So keep all that in mind. Now, let's talk about sexual anxiety. What is sexual anxiety? So for the purpose of this call and our learning, I'm going to define sexual anxiety as any nervousness related to any and all sexual interactions. Now, that doesn't mean just sexual touching. It doesn't mean being uncomfortable with sex. It means being uncomfortable with sexual conversations, sexual movie scenes, any sort of fetish that like immediately repulses you, or any sort of, sexual act that you think is gross, is all signs of sexual anxiety. Now, sexual anxiety is going to run the spectrum from guys who have no sexual anxiety, guys who have no problems having sex in public with tons of people around, basically porn stars, and to, your guy who has major sexual issues and can't even talk about sex or anything like that without, blushing and just runs away anytime the topic of sex comes up. So what we want to do is we want to start working on it, because when you have sexual anxiety, it manifests itself in a lot of different ways that are both physical, palpable, and thoughts. And this can really, really, really hurt your game. So some of the symptoms of sexual anxiety are things like approach anxiety, escalation anxiety, right? When you have sexual anxiety and you're afraid of sexual situations, it can be harder to approach and it can be really hard to pull the trigger. If you have ever had problems going for a kiss, inviting a woman back to your place, trying to, make a move physically on the woman, and you had nervousness or anything like that, that's a small level of sexual anxiety. Other things that come into it are sexual performance anxiety. Sexual performance anxiety has a couple of different facets. There's size anxiety, there's inexperience anxiety, there's bad performance anxiety, but all of those, again, are forms of sexual anxiety. If you ever worry that you're not able to please a girl, that you don't know what you're doing, that she's going to think you're lame, that she's had more lovers than you, or anything like that, again, sexual anxiety. Another symptom of sexual anxiety is nervousness with sexual conversations, touching, and situations. Like I said before, it doesn't even have to be in your own life. Guys with really bad sexual anxiety, they find ways to hide from their sexuality. They might be like really uptight and proper and be like, I don't think that's appropriate to talk about right now. Like, that's not classy, or this, that, or the other. Like, anything like that. If you find yourself doing stuff like that, you probably have a decent amount of sexual anxiety. Now, all that stuff's, not cool, but how does it actually hurt you with when it comes to pickup? Well, it creates problems in your life. This sexual anxiety is not just going to hang out and not create any sort of problems. It's not going to just be like a nice little thing that you have that sometimes wears its head. It's going to create a ton of problems. It's going to create problems approaching women. Like I talked about before, the two major causes of approach anxiety are sexual and social anxiety. Sexual anxiety and social anxiety combine to form approach anxiety. That's why a lot of the times you have like this weird friction between the desire that's happening and your sexual and social anxieties, right? Because the desire exists in and of itself, and then the sexual and social anxieties kind of act upon it. So a major factor in approach anxiety, even though sex is way down the line from approaching, is sexual anxiety. Also, it also hurts you with attracting women. When you are sexually nervous and you have sexual anxiety, you have problems escalating, you have problems relaxing, you're really nervous, you run out of things to say, your mind is going a million miles an hour, you feel like everything is going way too fast and you don't know what to do or say because you've got a really high level of anxiety. I mean, there are clinical studies that show that when you place people under anxiety or elevated nerves, performance drops. So trying to learn game while you have sexual anxiety is equivalent to training for the Olympics while dragging an anchor behind you. You know, trying to make the Olympic swim team while you're dragging an anchor. No matter how hard you work, you're not going to be able to make the real amount of progress because the real issue is something under the surface. So, now that we know what sexual anxiety is, let's talk about where does it come from. Sexual anxiety is the classic nature versus nurture argument. Some of it is that naturally we are going to, based on, you know, our biology and brain chemistry, have different levels of sexual anxiety. It is, you know, normal to some degree to be nervous about sex, especially in the beginning, especially if you're inexperienced. So if you're someone on this call who is really inexperienced with girls, that's totally normal to have a little bit more anxiety. But you don't have to let it affect you. The other part is nurture. As a society, we have not really figured out a way for men and women to express their sexuality in a way that's normal and healthy, as opposed to ways like porn or, you know, Hollywood romance movies that are depictions of sexuality that are not really correct and not really good for a guy who wants to get better with girls. Mothers generally, you know, can smother people with sexual anxiety. I know for me, even when I was 15 years old, my mom would still try to cover my eyes if there was a sex scene in a movie. These things can seem like little incidents, but they can create real issues subconsciously because your subconscious mind is picking up everything. So some of it's natural, some of it's nurture, some of it comes from your level of experience with women, some of it comes from your beliefs about yourself, women, and sexual situations, which we're going to talk about beliefs a lot further on in this call, so don't worry about that. But it also comes from your religious background, your parents and how they talk to you about sex, and ultimately sexual education. How well you were sexually educated either in school, by, you know, a brother or sister, by friends, by pornography, wherever your sexual education came from, take a moment now and write that down. Where did you learn about sex? Because these things will start to help you figure out where your sexual anxiety came from. So did you learn about sex from school? Like for me, my dad gave me a sexual talk when I was about 14 years old, and I remember it like it was yesterday. We were driving down Ventura Boulevard, and we were going to In-N-Out to get a burger, and my dad was like, yeah, you know, you're getting to the age where you're going to start getting girls and stuff like that, and I wasn't getting girls then. Or for the next, you know, 5 years, basically, 4 or 5 years. And he was like, look, if you ever are down there with a girl and it smells bad, you know, just put your clothes back on and go get ice cream. You don't want to risk it. That was my sexual advice talk. And then I had a human sexuality class, sexual education class, in health in 10th grade with a teacher named Mr. Fenwick, who we really just threw spitballs at, and there were rumors that he had sex with his wife in the armpits. He showed us some pictures of you know, sexually transmitted diseases, but it was never, you had to kind of work out the mechanics of sex for yourself. Like, I thought, until I was like 9 or 10 years old, I didn't realize that sex was vaginal. I thought it was you bang the girl in the butt. So all of these things contributed to my own sexual anxiety, and my own sexual anxiety was a major problem to the point where when I was 18 years old, I met this really, really hot girl named Blair, and we ended up going back to her dorm at UCLA. I met her at UCLA at a frat party, and she wanted to have sex, and I could not actually get aroused. I couldn't actually get hard. That's how bad my sexual anxiety was. I was nervous that she didn't like me or that, you know, she was going to think I was lame or that I had a small dick. I mean, a million bad thoughts were going through my head. And that was when I really realized that I had sexual anxiety. And this was even before I had joined the community. I realized that I was really uncomfortable with sex and sexual situations, and I would blush and laugh. And it came from a combination of nature and nurture. So don't discount your religious background. If you were raised, not to point fingers or anything, but if you were raised really Catholic or really, really religious, like Christian or Protestant, then you got probably some really massive guilt about sex and sexual relationships and a lot of ideas about stuff that maybe isn't helpful anymore. Also think about, you know, did your parents ever talk to you about sex? What was your first sexual experience? Like, all of these things combine to form that sexual anxiety. So it's not your fault necessarily, but it is something that you have to proactively make a decision to deal with, as I did years and years and years ago. So how do you know if you have sexual anxiety? I put together a little list. You have sexual anxiety if you worry about your sexual performance or inexperience with a woman. If you ever, when you're on a date or you're hitting it off with a girl at a party or wherever, and things start to get physical or you maybe make out and you start to worry about your sexual performance or inexperience, you have sexual anxiety. If you feel like you're not sure you can satisfy a woman, you have sexual anxiety. Even if you've been with a lot of girls, if you're constantly thinking about whether or not you're going to be able to satisfy a girl, you have sexual anxiety. You have worrisome thoughts related to sex, right? If you feel uncomfortable with sexual conversation, be it with a stranger or your parents, whoever it is, if you ever get uncomfortable discussing the subject of sex, unless there's a very good social reason for it, like you're in church or something, then there's some sexual anxiety there. If you feel nervous and have trouble escalating with women, then you probably have sexual anxiety. If you have escalation anxiety, if it's hard for you to pull the trigger, like guys want to talk about like all of these reasons they can't pull the trigger, they don't know what to do to kiss a girl, bullshit. The reason you have trouble pulling the trigger is because you have sexual anxiety, because you're worried about getting sexually rejected. Kissing is one of the first stages of sexual intimacy, and if you get rejected on that, and if you worry about that, there's some form of sexual anxiety there. If you feel nervous expressing sexual interest in a woman, you can't tell a woman she's sexy or that you want to have sex with her, you have sexual anxiety. And lastly, if you feel sexually unconfident, if you feel like you don't really know what you're doing with sex and you're not really comfortable with it, you want more of it, but you're not really, it's not something you really understand, then you probably have sexual anxiety. So let's talk about how to work on it. We're going to do a two-pronged approach, which is education and experience. So the first thing you have to do if you want to get rid of your sexual anxiety is that you have to get really comfortable with the idea of sex. At first, this can be like a difficult process. You know, there's a lot of shame and guilt and really negative feelings that are attached to the ideas of sex and sexuality, and especially the ideas of wanting to be a player or a promiscuous guy or a guy who has sex with a lot of girls. There's a lot of things going on there mentally that we're not aware of. And so the first thing you have to do is you have to educate yourself about women, their sexuality, male sexuality, and sex in general. So the more you know, the better. Now, I'm not a big fan of recommending people go out and just read a bunch of books, because I think that a lot of times guys do that and they don't actually get any better. But in this case, I'm going to recommend some book recommendations for you guys that really helped me, and I'm going to kind of give you an idea of what to look for in each of these books. So the first book is called The Guide to Getting It On, and don't worry, you'll get all of these written down in the notes in the PDF that you're going to be getting. So The Guide to Getting It On is the first book. The Guide to Getting It On is basically the new millennium's answer to The Joy of Sex, right? It's basically an updated version of the book The Joy of Sex, which is kind of like the first how-to self-help book on sex. In it, you're going to understand all the mechanics of sex. You're going to understand all the things that can, all the consequences of sex, be they STDs, pregnancy, you're going to understand the actual arousal mechanisms that are going on with women and men. It's got chapters on the vagina and the penis. It's really the best thing I can recommend for anything. Like, reading that book really reduced my sexual anxiety, because now I understood that I'm crazy, right? So when I had that experience with Blair when I was 18, I thought I was impotent, right? And it happened again, it happened two or three times before I even was involved with the community. But what I learned from this book, The Guide to Getting It On, is that that's a pretty common thing. It's like that sort of not being able to respond at the moment, lack of arousal, especially when you're really inexperienced and you have a lot of sexual anxiety, is something that does happen and can be the most frustrating thing in the world, right? Because now, especially if you're a guy who doesn't get many chicks, and now you finally get a girl back, like in my situation, you can't get it up, like that's the worst thing ever, right? So understanding how these processes work, understanding what helps erections and what doesn't help erections, like staying hydrated really helps, like alcohol and cigarettes don't. So learning all of that was a big, big help, and I think that, to me, is still the best book I've ever read on sex. Now, the next couple books I'm going to recommend are actually on female sexuality, right? The first book is Nancy Friday's My Secret Garden, which is kind of a classic in the community. It is definitely the book that has made me the most angry and stressed out of any book I've ever read on any subject, just because some of the fantasies, you're just like, why would anyone be turned on by this? And the idea that all women have these kind of fantasies and that it's very common was hard for me to take at first. You don't need to read all of My Secret Garden, but you want to kind of pick and choose. Read maybe 10 to 12 of the fantasies and read all the sections explaining the types of fantasies and all of Nancy Friday's interpretation of sexual fantasies and female arousal, because all of that stuff is really gold for understanding what turns girls on. The next book is Sperm Wars. Sperm Wars will kind of talk evolutionarily about different female reproductive strategies. Basically, Sperm Wars is a book about how the female sex drive and the female reproductive cycle consistently outwits men in order to get the most superior genes. So that'll give you kind of an idea of why women make the sexual decisions that they make, and kind of teach you a little bit more about what's going on at the subconscious level besides the conscious level. And lastly, the last book I recommend is David Shade's Manual, which is the original book that I read on how to be good in bed. That really has all of the things like the welcomed method, which will teach you how to give girls clitoral orgasms, the deep spot, which will teach you how to give girls vaginal orgasms, and there's some good stuff on dirty talk, there's some good stuff on dominance, it's really as much as you need to delve into the, like, get better at sex books. That one has pretty much all you need and more, and a lot of stuff you don't need. All the stuff on hypnosis and making girls come by talking to them, it's interesting, but get more out of the idea of what dirty talk is arousing to women, what positions, the welcomed method, the Taoist thrusting is another thing to look for in there. All of those will give you a really good chance of making girls that you're with have orgasms, which will really boost your sexual confidence once you're getting more sex. So that's the education part. That's the knowledge that I want you guys to go out and get. Go out and read those four books in the next 7 to 12 weeks, and that'll really start to give you a lot more knowledge to combat that sexual anxiety. Now, the second thing is building up your sexual experience. So what I'm going to recommend here is that you need to get a regular sex partner. Now, this doesn't have to be the girl of your dreams. It doesn't have to be a perfect 10 model. It doesn't have to be anything like that. Use the internet if you have to. But meet a girl who's going to be willing to have sex with you on a regular basis, like at least once a week for, you know, a couple months, if not more, you know, if not two or three times a week. Just because you want to get comfortable having sex. You want to get comfortable with different positions. You want to get comfortable with different sexual acts, be it, you know, cunnilingus, be it oral sex, be it, you know, tying girls up. You want to start to build up things. And while you're doing this, you can also start to ask your regular sex partner what she's into sexually, and you can also start to figure out what you're into sexually. If there's something that you think turns you on, then it's a really one of the best things that I ever did for building up my sexual confidence and getting rid of my sexual anxiety was I got a regular sex partner, and I would talk to her about things that I was thinking about wanting to do sexually. This was a girl named Kara when I lived in San Diego. You know, we talked about handcuffs one time, and we tried that, and we talked about, you know, public sex, and we talked about road sex, and stuff like that. And again, whatever your fantasies are, your fetishes are, aren't a big deal, as much as the idea that once you're having sex with someone, you can open up a really frank and really explicit dialogue about what you want and about what she wants. And you can ask the magic question, what are you into sexually? Which is a great question to ask any woman you're having sex with, because the more you know what she likes, the more you can give it to her, and the more she'll enjoy having sex with you. So, that regular sex partner doesn't need to be anything special, but you want to open up this frank sexual dialogue, and that's going to give you a couple of different things. First, it's going to get you comfortable discussing sex, right? Get comfortable discussing sex as foreplay. You know, if you have a regular sex partner and you're out eating dinner or something, get comfortable telling her that she looks sexy and that you want to bend her over when you get home. By doing these, you're building reference experience, right? When you do something that's sexual, and we're going to talk about sexuality and risk in a little bit, and you get away with it, you build up that sexual confidence. When you get comfortable discussing what you want sexually, your own fetishes, and when I say fetishes, I don't mean like dressing up in leather head to toe, but I mean, maybe you like, for me, like I wanted to get blowjobs standing up, right? And for a long time, I was like really uncomfortable to tell girls that because I was like, oh, she's going to think I'm some sort of weirdo with like a secretary fetish or whatnot. And finally, you know, I was talking to a girl I was having sex with on a regular basis, and I was like, it would really turn me on if you would give me a blowjob while I'm standing up. And she was into it. The thing is, when you're regularly having sex with someone and it's good, they want to please you. Like, getting used to doing these comfortable sexual discussions will really help you in any relationship you're with, whether you want a girlfriend or you want a rotation or you just want one night stands. Being able to give girls pleasure and let them give you pleasure is like a huge part of the sexual experience. So, that's the first part. Education and sexual experience. Now, the second thing is I want to talk about understanding your sexual comfort zone, because much like everything, your sexual anxiety has kind of hemmed you into a comfort zone, right? And basically a comfort zone is just what it sounds like. It's the zone in which you're comfortable. So if you have a sexual comfort zone of I'm only comfortable having sex with girls who have never had sex with anyone else and don't know anything about sex, and I can't talk about sex in public, and I'm waiting to get married, your sexual comfort zone is tiny. So to break out of a comfort zone like that, it's going to take a lot. But if you just have some escalation anxiety, or, you know, you're uncomfortable telling girls you want them or anything like that, it's going to take a little bit less time. So the first thing to discuss here is the inherent risk in being sexual. like I talked about before, anytime you're sexual, you are breaking rapport and you're risking that the girl is going to reject you. And that can be really, really scary for a lot of guys. This fear of rejection is the underlying basis of a lot of sexual anxiety. So when it comes to being sexual, you have to understand that it is a risk. And it can get you blown out, and it can make things go bad with girls you're talking to, but it can also accelerate the interactions to sex amazingly. Everything is a risk when it comes to pickup. And the risk of being sexual is a risk that you can't really afford not to take. If you never bring up sexual topics, if you never touch a girl in a sexual way, if you never let the girl know that you want to have sex with her, and explicitly, you're going to have a friend. So the key here is we got to figure out where your sexual comfort zone is. So I want to have just a quick list that I want you guys to write down, and as we go, kind of figure out where your comfort zone is. So it starts with approaching a woman that you are sexually attracted to. And then after that, you have flirting. After that, you have giving a statement of intent, saying something like, you are really sexy, or I'm totally hitting on you, or I can't believe I'm flirting with you, or I totally want to kiss you. Then there is kissing, going for that first kiss. Then there is setting up the date. Sexual anxiety comes into that. Moving on. Calling the girl's phone number. Sexual anxiety, if you've ever gotten a phone number and been too scared to call it, guess what that is? That's sexual anxiety. And where does that sexual anxiety come from? The risk of being sexual. The risk of being sexual and the fear of sexual rejection, that we can be deemed to not be sexual, not be a man, you know, not be someone that someone would want, is entirely terrifying to most men, and that's what keeps you trapped in your sexual comfort zone. So it's key to understand that the secret to getting out of your sexual comfort zone is to get rejected and see that it's not that big of a deal. Because as you take bigger and bigger risks and you see that rejection doesn't hurt you, you gain confidence. Anyone who's heard me talk before about confidence knows that I believe confidence has a very simple formula. The formula for confidence, whether it's sexual confidence, whether it's business confidence, whether it's anything, is fear plus survival. So if right now you're afraid to even approach a girl and you do it, you're building a little more confidence. If right now you're afraid to tell a girl you want to have sex with her and you do it once, even if it goes bad, you're building more sexual confidence. So back to our risks. Calling the phone number. Going on it, bringing a girl back to your place. Meeting a girl at your place, bringing a girl into your bedroom, kissing a girl, removing her bra, trying to remove her pants, getting a condom, and lastly, sex. So there we've gone from approaching to sex and all of the little milestones where you could be sexually uncomfortable are those little steps, whether it's approaching, whether it's flirting, giving statements of intent, kissing, calling numbers, inviting a girl back to your place. On that list, I want you to figure out honestly where you are, where the biggest sexual risk you're comfortable consistently taking is. And then I want you to look one risk above that. So, for example, if you are comfortable approaching women, flirting with them, getting phone numbers, but you're not comfortable explicitly letting the girl know that you're trying to get in her pants and that you are attracted to her and want her, then that's where we're going to go. And like anything, we're going to work with baby steps. You're going to try to go to the next risk. The next time you meet a woman, you're going to try to go one risk further than you went last time. You don't need to do it all in a day. Rome was not built in a day. But now that we've figured out where your sexual comfort zone is, we want to create a plan step by step of how we're going to move up the ladder. And if the next step is you need to approach women, that's the next step. And if the next step is you need to get comfortable getting condoms on, that's the next step. Wherever you are, there's no right or wrong answers for this. But there is progress, and you have to know kind of where you're at in order to know where you're trying to get. Okay, so the next part of sexual anxiety is all about beliefs. And I'm going to talk to you about beliefs, how to use belief work, sexuality, and I'm going to teach you the four or five beliefs of naturals that I've kind of gleaned and worked into my game that kind of helped me kept my mind right when it comes to meeting and attracting women. So the first thing I want to talk about is how beliefs are related to sexuality. So what are beliefs? They are things that we have accepted to be true. Beliefs are very dangerous because beliefs are the highest level of cognition, right? Some beliefs we have are really helpful, like we believe that we can't fly so we don't jump off roofs. And other beliefs we have are really, really detrimental, like I'm too old to get a certain type of girl, or hot girls don't like me, or I am not the kind of guy who could have a one-night stand. Now, beliefs that are related to our sexuality are very, very core parts of our belief. And beliefs build up our self-image. They build up what we believe ourselves to be, and therefore what expectations, demands, results, all of those things we expect of ourselves and of how other people are going to treat us. So beliefs are very, very, very powerful. And even more powerfully, beliefs, actions, and results work on what's called a hyper-empiric loop, which means that beliefs influence actions, which influence results, which then come back around to influence, that's right, beliefs. So let's look at that in action. Let's say I have a bad belief about sex. Like, I believe women only want to have sex in committed relationships with rich, tall men. So what's going to happen? Let's say I see a girl I want to approach, and I see a girl and I go, oh man, that girl is hot. I would love to have sex with that girl. But I know that women only want to have sex in committed relationships with hot guys that are tall. So what's my action going to be? Well, if I'm not hot or tall, I'm not going to approach, which means I'm not going to get that girl, which means my belief is going to be strengthened that I don't get the type of girls I want. So it's really, really, really crucial that we figure out what our beliefs are about sexuality, women, and relationships. So I want everyone to take a moment right now and write down, what are my beliefs about sex? You don't need to write down, you know, all of your beliefs about sex right now, but leave a couple of lines blank so that you can come back and fill in everything you believe about sex. Do you believe that sex is normal and natural? Do you believe that sex is dirty and shameful? Do you believe that women trade relationships for sex? Do you believe that women only want to have sex with you if you're a certain type of guy? Do you believe that it's easy to get girls to have sex with you? Do you believe that it's really hard? Whatever your beliefs about sex are, just write them out. And that's going to be the start. Then I want you to, a few lines down, write down, what are my beliefs about relationships? What do you believe about relationships and pickup? What do you think happens when men and women get together? How do you think most people meet and end up having sex? How many sexual partners do you think a woman has in a relationship? You know, do you think everyone cheats? Do you think relationships are based on money? Do you think, you know, relationships are stupid? Do you believe in monogamy? Do you believe in polyamory? Whatever your beliefs about relationships are, we're not here to be right or wrong about whether or not your beliefs are true. We're here to figure them out so that we can start using more helpful beliefs. And lastly, three or four lines down, what are your beliefs about women? What do you believe about women? Okay, so let's look at some common bad beliefs guys have. One of the most common beliefs guys have is that women don't like sex as much as men do. Now, this could not be further from the truth. Women like sex as much, if not more, than men. In fact, women can have multiple orgasms. If you read that book, My Secret Garden, or Sperm Wars, you'll see that women are having a lot of sex. In fact, in 1998, Harvard did a study on sexual partners, and the average man in his lifetime had 7 sexual partners, whereas the average woman had 14, exactly double. So women are definitely having sex. Sex is normal and natural. It's not anything like you're not taking anything away from women when you have sex with them. That's something that the common vernacular and everything wants you to believe, that women give it up and men take it. But that's really not the way sex works. Sex can be a mutually beneficial, non-committed thing. Another really bad belief a lot of guys have, maybe you have it, is women don't like to be hit on. This one's silly. This one's just plain retarded. Women don't like to be hit on by losers. Women don't like to be hit on badly. Women don't like to be hit on by guys who are really nervous or creepy. But women love to be hit on by guys that are cool. And even when guys who aren't cool hit on them, they're flattered by it. Ask any of your female friends. It's always flattering to be hit on. Anytime you hit on a woman, you're doing something to help her, even if she's disgusted by it. Another bad belief, women want commitment if they have sex with you. This one, my entire life would be completely different if this was true. But there isn't, despite what church and your parents and your, you know, aging married friends tell you, women don't necessarily want commitment if they have sex with you, and women are more than willing to have a one-night stand given the right circumstances. Another really bad belief, women only want rich, good-looking, connected, smart, tall, whatever you consider yourself to be lacking guys. This is a killer bad belief, because the truth is, you'll see women with all types of men. You will see attractive women with all sorts of men and unattractive women. So while a woman might have a preference or a type, you never know what her type is or, you know, what kind of guy she wants. And when you start to limit yourself and say that that kind of girl wouldn't like you as a type of guy, you're already shooting yourself in the foot. Women will reject you enough that you don't need to do it for yourself because you don't fit in a certain criteria. Another bad belief, women don't like talking about sex. That's a really common one. Guys like think it's uncomfortable for girls. I mean, just earlier today I was at my pool and I was talking to one of my neighbors about sex for a good 2 hours. And that ended very well. Not super well, because now I have a next door neighbor that's a problem, but I can complain about that somewhere else. I already did it on my blog. But yeah, women have no problems talking about sex. At some point, men and women, when they're talking, at some point it has to go sexual, because it's the only logical place it can go after a while, if there's attraction. Lastly, relationships have to be monogamous. I know most of you guys probably don't have that belief, but some guys still believe that you have to only date one person at a time, or that if you're having sex with one girl, it means you have to stop talking to all other girls, or this, that, or the other, and none of that really is true. So don't get caught up in thinking that relationships have to be monogamous and that you have to have a type of relationship that you don't want. That's another really big point. So, let's talk about some really good beliefs. Some beliefs that naturals that I've met over the last 6 years have come up with. I have 5 beliefs of naturals that I've gotten from, I think, 3 different guys that I've known over the years who were really head and shoulders above everyone else when it came to meeting attractive women. I mean, these are the guys who definitely are better than me and any other pickup artist I've ever seen. These are the guys who, you know, walk in and out of the clubs with the hottest girls. So I've kind of, over lunch and dinner and, you know, things like that, I sat these guys down, and 3 of them, I got them to give me some really good points on mindset. So I'm going to give you those now without any further ado. And the number one, you know, belief of natural, the first one I'm going to tell you guys is women love meeting new guys and go out to hook up. This was really drilled into my head by a natural friend of mine named Joey, who would just be like, look, why is she going out to meet he's like, everything a girl could do in the club, she could do somewhere else cheaper and in a much more relaxing way, right? Like, she wants to dance, she could go to dance class, or, you know, she could dance at home with her friends, they could crank their music up, right? She doesn't need to be out on the dance floor in a hot club. If she wants to drink and talk with her friends, she could do that somewhere else, right? Even if she wants to hook up with an older guy, right? Like, this guy would even go so far as to say that women specifically go out because they're trying to hook up with new guys, because if she wanted to just, you know, have sex with a guy she already knew, she could just send out a mass text message and be like, hey, come over and watch a movie, and someone will show up there. You know, there's some guy in her phone who will do that. So women love meeting new guys, and they go out specifically to hook up with new guys, to meet new guys, even if they're in relationships, even if they're, you know, set. They're always looking to trade up. That was really this guy's big belief, was women are always looking to trade up. And if you're cool, then you're always the best option. The next thing is there's no such thing as failure, only feedback. This one actually comes from NLP, not any of the naturals. But this one is just so key. Like, when it comes to naturals, whenever they mess up, they fail, they always blame the girl. They always say it's her fault. So they never even take any feedback. We're not naturals, so we need to take feedback and look at what we could have done better. But the only way to fail is to stop trying. That's a really important mindset for getting good at pickup. Number three, like, it's always on. This is a buddy of mine, you know, who works for another company. He hammers this, and he's really, really good with girls. And for him, it's always on. No matter what she does, everything she does is a sign that she likes him. Even if she's, you know, even if she's being cold, even if she's, you know, not talking or answering questions, it's always, always on. Having this "it's always on" mindset really helps you to escalate things in a natural way, because if it's already on, then it only makes sense that you would escalate them. Next one, this one's a really great belief that I've been teaching for a while, and this really, this eliminates a lot of approach anxiety, and this is the belief that approaches are only ever one of two things. Approaches are either fun or they're boring, and ultimately you decide. If you're not having fun in the approach, leave. You're not under any social contract to be there. So approaches are either fun or boring, and it's totally up to you whether it's fun or boring and whether you want to stay. So instead of looking at approaches and worrying because the girl's too hot or, you know, this, that, or the other, instead you look at it like the approach is either going to be fun or it's going to be boring. You'll know within 90 seconds, and you can decide if you want to continue. And lastly, this one came from a really good buddy of mine down in Miami who was a bartender, and he basically said, you never know who a woman's going to sleep with or what she's like until you approach her. He's like, you can sit here and try to figure out, he was a bartender down there, and you'd be like, you could sit here and try to figure out if this girl's a tourist or if that girl's married, but like at the end of the day, once you start talking to her, you'll figure it out. But until then, there's no point in trying to figure out what a woman's like or tailoring your approach to what you think she's going to like, because you'll be consistently surprised. There are beautiful, gorgeous women out there that are really, really nice, and there are really ugly women out there that are really, really mean. And there are girls that are asleep with you really fast that you'd be surprised at, and there are girls who you approach thinking it's going to be a really easy approach because they're less attractive, and they're like, they're bitches. I call those really sets, because I want to just be like, really? Have you seen the two of us? Because, like, you should be nice to me. Because, really, I'm a lot cooler than you. And you should not be a bitch right now, because you're not attractive. But, yeah. So, you never know what a girl's like or who she's going to sleep with until you approach her. All right. So, let's move on. And I want to talk about how to implement belief work in three easy steps. So, we've kind of done some pre-work at this point. I had you guys write out your bad beliefs about women, sex, and relationships, right? We talked about getting you guys to see what those are, and then we talked about the beliefs of naturals, which you want to implement. So we want to switch out these bad beliefs for good beliefs. And the way we're going to do that is through repetition and through basically programming your brain to have a default state of looking to support these beliefs. Because what happens with beliefs is that we're constantly pinging out against reality to see if our beliefs make sense, right? So, like, if I go up to the roof to jump off and I look over the edge, I'm going to get that vertigo and that feeling that, oh, maybe this isn't a good idea. Maybe my belief that I can fly is not correct. And then we're going to say things to ourselves on the inside and on the outside, right? So we want to use positive self-talk, and we want to tune our reticular activation system, which is kind of the radar system of your mind, to start looking for things to support the positive beliefs. So step number one is I want you to pick three beliefs of naturals that you want to implement into your game, into your life. And what you're going to do is you're going to do affirmations with these. So you're going to look yourself in the mirror, because it's really important that you make eye contact with yourself and you see yourself saying this, and you practice really good delivery. You want to practice saying it with a lot of conviction. So, for example, let's say we want to use the belief, approaches are either fun or boring, and I decide, right? So what we're going to do is, three times a day, you're going to get up, and you're going to go to the bathroom, close the doors if you don't want people hearing you do this, or, you know, whatever. You're going to look yourself in the mirror, and you're going to repeat this affirmation five times. You're going to say, approaches are either fun or boring, and I decide. Approaches are either fun or boring, and I decide. And you want to say it with as much kind of conviction as you possibly can, right? And again, this is what you want to repeat to yourself as you're going through your day. When you start to have those negative beliefs come up, we're going to talk about thought replacement. Thought replacement is one of the most important things when it comes to belief work. Thought replacement is recognizing the negative thoughts you're having and replacing it with a positive thought. So the beliefs of naturals are five positive thoughts that you can replace when those negative feelings pop up. So let's say you do your affirmations, you go out to do some pickup, and you see a girl you want to approach, and as you're, you know, thinking about approaching her, you're in your mind, up pops, that girl would never like me, she's too hot. So what you want to do instead of that girl would never like me, she's too hot, is you want to replace it with something that is more helpful at the time, right? So instead, when you have that negative thought, you want to say, yeah, I never know a woman's type or who she's going to sleep with until I approach her, right? Or approaches are either fun or boring, and I decide, right? But the idea is you want to catch those negative thoughts when you're having them and then replace them with positive thoughts. And we're going to talk about, when we get to the third step, we're going to talk about specific things called performance statements. So that's affirmations. So three times a day, you're going to say your beliefs into the mirror five times each. Step number two, we're going to tune our reticular activation system. So what we're going to look for is evidence that supports our belief. So let's say your negative belief was women don't like me because I'm too short. And your positive belief is I never know what a woman's type is or who she's going to sleep with until I approach her. What you're going to look for is anytime you see a hot girl with an ugly guy, write it down. You're going to carry a notepad for the next 2 weeks, and every time you see anything that supports your new positive beliefs of naturals, write it down. This is going to get you used to looking for these positive things and used to looking for evidence to support our beliefs. It's kind of cheesy and self-helpy, but the man who believes he can do something and the man who believes he can't do something are both right. But it comes down to your beliefs, and our beliefs need support. Think of your belief as a little tree that you're planting. You're planting this healthy tree in your yard, but it needs water and soil and air to breathe and to live. And your evidence for these beliefs is the water, soil, and air. Every time you make a note that there's a hot girl with an ugly guy, or every time you see a hot girl with a short guy, or every time you see a hot girl get approached by a guy and he does well with her at a bar, write it down, write it down, write it down, and then look back over that when you're formulating your beliefs and remember those situations when you're doing your affirmations. When you're doing your affirmations, try to visualize the evidence that you already have for these beliefs, because what that does is it starts to fire neural pathways in your brain. There's actual brain science that says combining affirmations with visualized evidence, whether it's real or fake, you can even make up these scenes if you really want to, really, really helps to realign the neurons in your brain and start firing them in a more positive fashion. There's a lot of science out there in a lot of programs that I've gone through, so I know this stuff actually works. And step three, use a belief performance statement as thought replacement. So what is a performance statement? A performance statement is what you want to focus on. Performance statements come from sports psychology. A guy named Jason Selk has a program called 10-Minute Mental Toughness, and in it he talks about the use of performance statements. Randy Couture in the book The Fighter's Mind talks about performance statements, because what happens is you have all these negative thoughts, and you start to talk to yourself in a way that isn't helpful, or in a way that presents a bad identity or a bad image. And when you're out doing these things, having those negative beliefs can really, really screw you. So we want to have performance statements, which is something we're focused on performing, right? It's things that are within our control. So my performance statement is I always instantly, easily, and confidently approach and at least try to number close every hot girl I see. So when I'm out and I see a girl I want to approach and I get any sort of negative thoughts, I just focus on my performance statement. I go, I always instantly, easily, and confidently approach and at least try to number close every hot girl I see. And by doing that, it allows me to focus on what I'm trying to do, which is instantly, easily, and confidently approaching this girl and then at least trying to number close her. Right? Those are the performance goals I want to have. I want to approach easily, confidently, and I want to escalate the interaction to at least a number close. So you can create your own performance statement. Maybe it's, I always instantly open any girl I'm attracted to. Or maybe it's, I always tease women I'm attracted to because I know that it makes them more attracted. Or, I always tell stories about my life because I know women like me more when I do that. Or I always qualify women because I know that that makes them flake less. Whatever that is, the last step is you want to use that performance statement as thought replacement when you're out in the real world. So step one, repeat your affirmations in the mirror while visualizing the evidence that you're going to write down as step two. And step three, you're going to use a belief performance statement as thought replacement when you're actually out approaching girls. So that kind of wraps up the three steps. Now, the next thing I have for you is an assignment. We've already kind of talked about this, but I want to give it to you in real form. So before the next call, which is the 13th of April, which is exactly 1 week from today, I want you to write out all of your negative beliefs about women, sex, and relationships. Everything. I personally recommend getting a white sheet of notebook paper for each of those and writing an entire page. Write until you can't write anymore. You can't think of anything else you believe about women, sex, and relationships that's bad. Right? Just write down all of your negative beliefs. Anything that you have that's bad. If you think you're too short, if you think you have a small penis, if you think girls don't like you because you're of your ethnicity, if you think, you know, girls only like guys that are rich, whatever it is, write it down. Then, on another opposite sheet of notebook paper, I want you to write out the opposites of every one of these beliefs. So if you believe you're too short, what's the opposite? I am too tall for women, right? Like, women are attracted to me because of my height. If you think that, you know, women don't like to have sex, the opposite of that belief is that every woman wants to have sex with me. Now, out of those, you're going to write down three beliefs you want to adopt. Now, they can be the beliefs of naturals. I recommend you guys do those anyway. Or they can be three of these opposite beliefs that are just kind of the opposite of something that you already think about yourself, but moving it towards a positive light. And then you're going to carry a pad for the next 2 weeks and record all supporting evidence for the new beliefs. You have to do that for the next 2 weeks. That's a really big part of this. It sounds weird, I know, it sounds kind of self-helpy, but you'd be amazed at how much easier it is to start to change your beliefs when you have real-life evidence that you've seen before you. Now, I have a couple exercises for you guys as well. You will get these in the PDF, so, you know, try to write them down right now, but if not, don't worry, you will get this exercise in PDF form. So this exercise is kind of the sexual anxiety tree, as I like to call it. So what you're going to do is, on a piece of paper, you're going to divide it into four different sections. So right, draw basically three lines through your paper horizontally. And in the first line, you're going to write down all the symptoms of sexual anxiety that you have. Escalation anxiety, performance anxiety, size anxiety, inexperience anxiety, escalation anxiety, whatever it is. Write them down. Now, in the next section, I want you to trace these symptoms back to the beliefs that cause it. What are the beliefs that cause each and every one of these symptoms? So, for example, if you have trouble escalating on girls, when you're in that situation, what is the belief that keeps you from escalating? Is it, this girl would never be attracted to me? Is it, you know, she's going to think I'm a creep if I try to kiss her? Is it, she's going to think I'm just trying to use her for sex? Whatever it is, find those beliefs. Trace it back to the core belief that caused them. And then once you have those beliefs, write down the opposite of these beliefs, because you're going to get probably different lists. The reason I have you do this twice in different exercises is you're going to get different lists. Now, on the last section, in the bottom of this page, I want you to take these opposite beliefs and write out what a day would be like in your life if you had these opposite beliefs. How would you approach women? How would you ask them out? How would you flirt with them? Where would you go on dates? What would you do with the girls you're already dating? What would be different? How would you feel? Write out the day if you did everything based on the opposite of the beliefs that you have right now. And the second exercise, this one will actually be a fun one for you guys. This one is purely just to deal with sexual anxiety when talking to women and their physicality, when their pure just sex appeal of a woman kind of overpowers you and makes you feel sexual anxiety because she's so hot you want her so bad. It's a heightened arousal exercise. So what I want you to do is I want you to go to a strip club and sit in the front row of the stage, right in Pervert's Alley, as the strippers I've dated have called it. And I want you to sit there for two or three strippers' entire sets. Tip them. You're not trying to seduce them. And see how long you can keep eye contact with a stripper without lowering your gaze below her eyes. Sounds much, much easier than it actually is, especially when they're gyrating and shaking their pussy and ass in your face. See how long you can keep eye contact with her without looking at her body. And if you can do that, you know, you can keep eye contact for a couple minutes or a full song, then try to talk to a stripper, and as long as you can, talk to her without checking out her body, looking at her in a sexual way, mentioning anything about desire, or letting her suck you down a sexual path. If she wants to talk sex with you, try to move the conversation in sex, but in a way that you're comfortable with. If she starts talking sexual and it makes you uncomfortable, go with it, because going with it will actually start to build more sexual comfort and sexual confidence. So that is all I have for you guys on this call. Hopefully you guys have a lot of stuff to implement now. I know there's a lot of exercises and things I recommended, reading assignments, internet for finding a regular sexual partner, all of that stuff. If you guys have questions on this, email me, sinn@sinnsofattraction.com. Our next call next week is going to be on a really amazing topic that you're not going to want to miss. So remember, it's the 13th, and we're going to be talking all about creating sexual attraction a week from today at 6 p.m. Pacific time. I'm really, really excited about that call because I'm going to be revealing a lot of my brand new stuff that I've been working on for the last 2 years on the idea of attracting a woman sexually at a subconscious, physical, sexual lower brain level. There's a lot of things we can do that are triggers for sexual arousal and sexual attraction. And next week, I'm going to be sharing a ton of stuff on that with you guys. So you're not going to want to miss that. Hopefully, I'll talk to everyone next week, April 13th, next Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific time. And we'll be talking about sexual attraction. Hope everyone has a great week and weekend. And I will talk to you next week.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. For help with guest options, press star 0. The moderator has not yet joined the conference. Please stand by.